McCook School Board meeting from last night. Superintendent of Schools, Grant Norgard. How you doing, sir?
Doing very well, Rich. Thank you very much.
It's July. It's July. July the 14th is here, yeah. and about a month to go before the school year kicks off.
Yeah, just I had to write about a little over a month away from the start of the school year. Teachers start on exactly a month away, so we're getting really close.
Getting awfully close and getting close to a graduation here right around the corner.
Yep, that's coming up here in a couple weeks and looking forward to that at the Graff Event Center. So really excited about finally getting a chance to honor our graduates on that day in a very in a socially distanced way.
I know Principal Jeff Gross put out a release just the other day on some of the guidelines in particulars with that.
Yeah. We needed to do put out some information to parents so they knew what was going on. We'd set the date and time, obviously, over a month ago. And then it was just a matter of hoping that we could actually hold the graduation, working with the health department on how that works, putting together a plan and having that approved by the health department, and how we're going to keep people socially distanced as best we can. We have a pretty good plan for that. How to mitigate all the different types of emergencies that are unrelated, such as fire and tornado and all those other things. So there's a lot of work that goes into planning the graduation, and the COVID-19 certainly added a few more layers to that planning. So came up with a workable plan, and we're excited that we're able to bring all of our kids in and honor them.
I know back maybe a couple of months ago, was there any talk of moving it across the street to Wyland Field maybe?
We needed to put together a plan that was going to be in the best case for all the people that would like to come. So when we thought about Wyland Field, there's a reason we moved away from Wyland. We had some issues over there with the temperatures. Temperature on July 1st is going to be pretty, yeah. We just don't know what it's going to be like. There's also weather conditions. And so when you do at the Graff Event Center, you can plan. You know what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And since the Department of Health requires a plan, the contingency, if the weather wasn't going to allow for it to be outside, was just something that we weren't ready to take on, at least not at this point. And so that's why we decided on moving it to having it at the Graff Event Center, conducting graduation there. That's where we do graduations. It's going to provide a very safe environment. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a conditioned environment for everybody, and we're able to get a lot of our folks in and able to have the function. We're excited about that.
Yeah, air conditioned over July 31st being 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's, especially since the time has been out for several months. That time of the evening, 100 degrees, black robes, families up in the stands outdoors is not probably the best environment for everybody.
Now, your meeting last night was all in one room, is that right?
Yeah, we did meet last night all in one room. We used conference room B at the high school, which gives us a little bit more space than the school's boardroom. We're able to space people out a little bit more effectively. And so it was a good environment, and we were able to have the meeting there last night.
We'll start first, reports, communications, public participation.
Did have one comment. In fact, it was TJ Renner, who was our board student board member. He did talk about graduation, had some of the same questions about why we were having it at the Graff Event Center. And it was a really good questions for us to have to answer. And so we appreciate TJ bringing that forward and asking us about that. And I think he was understanding of why the decision was made to keep it at the Graff Event Center. It's just a location that works better for the school and for most families.
All right. Anything there on reports, communications, public participation?
That was the only one, yeah.
And then any public comments after that?
Well, that was public comments, yeah.
And then you had a presentation to TJ.
Yep, then we honored TJ with being a member of the Board of Education as a student representative. And so we presented him with a certificate last night and his nameplate, and were able to congratulate him on a great job. And he did do a great job as a student board member.
I'm sure learned a lot.
Oh, well, I hope so.
Now, when do you choose the new one for the next school year now?
Well, the students actually vote, and so he was voted on by and represents the student by election. So they'll have a vote sometime in the fall, and then that person will join the board, sometime around October, November usually is when they join the board.
Consent agenda, approval of minutes, expenditures, payroll for the month of June, reports, anything on that?
On the consent agenda, nothing was approved as presented.
Yeah. Reports from staff members and committees.
We did have a couple of committee reports. We had a policy committee report, talked a little bit about some of the policies that we'd, you know, what we had discussed in the past, but also something concerning student health. With the COVID 19 being present in the upcoming school year, the policy committee wanted to meet and talk about the MPS student health plan. And so it's actually an action item later on in the agenda. And so during that, we wanted to really kind of work through the hours that a student would be absent from school if they were ill. So with COVID-19, there's been recommendations by health department to up that to 72 hours versus what we currently have at 24 hours. And so that was a lot. There was a lot of discussion over that because 72 hours is 3 days. That's a lot of school for our kids to miss. And so we did come up with a plan where that is implemented, but it's implemented only if the health department risk indicator is at an elevated level. Right now, it's not. So, as long as local COVID numbers stay low, we'll stick to our 24 hours. But if we ever get to a point where that is elevated in our location of Nebraska, in our area of Nebraska, then we'll implement the 72-hour away from school. And I hope people understand that the reason for that is that just taking another step to be cautious to try to mitigate the spread of the virus.
Anything else on policy?
We did also have a hearing last night, the hearing on the Committee on American Civics met last night, and it was a hearing opportunity for folks to come into the school and comment on American Civics. We did not have any comments last night. I think that people are pretty comfortable with what McCook Public Schools does teach when it comes to civics. We do, you know, we stick to the Constitution. We are very traditional and patriotic in our approach to social sciences in our school system. I think people appreciate that. And we also had an opportunity to go through and look through some of our curriculum. We presented our curriculum folders for social studies K through 12. Found some things there we want to fix for the next go around, make things a little bit simpler for the board committee to find the information that by state statute we really need to be able to provide evidence of. So it was a good meeting for us, give us some direction on how to make some things a little bit better. And also we talked about some of the things that we do. We do certain holidays we have to recognize during the course of the year, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, those types of things. Talked about that, how the schools do that, and how we might need to improve some of those dates of recognition in the future. So good committee meeting, and had some recommendations, and we were able to share that meeting with the board later in the night. And that committee meeting took place at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Board administrative comments. Anything else there?
We did have some comments from board members. We just talked a little bit about the tours. We're going to do some school tours coming up in the next few months. I need to get my doodle survey out, try to get everybody on the same date so we don't have to have multiple dates, just to walk around our facilities. And also Mr. Bredvick talked a little bit about the Nebraska Association of School Boards and the materials that they're sending out to board members so that they can be more prepared and better understanding of how to react to the current COVID-19 environment that schools are about to open up in. And that is all I have for the board comments. I did have some administrative comments. I talked about, had several things last night. One of the things I did do is have my principals present on career and college readiness. And that was a good presentation by my principals. Each principal kind of shared what they do at their buildings to prepare kids for career and college. Obviously, at McCook Elementary School, basically everything they're doing is preparing kids for the next level of education, which in essence is preparing students for careers and for college. But as you go through the years, there's more specific activities that the different buildings have identified to link students to potential career opportunities. So, you know, a little bit more at Central, again, a little bit more at Junior High, and of course at the high schools where we do the most. And we also talked about what we would like to see improved in the future. There are some things that we'd like to do to provide more career opportunities for kids, more career experiences for kids at the high school. We have done quite a bit more in the last several years. This year, year kind of, this last year, 19 and 20, it was a little bit tougher because our fourth quarter, which is kind of the part of the year where we really spend a lot of time focusing on careers, was wiped out due to the coronavirus. But we have some plans for next year, and hopefully we'll be able to move forward with them and build some stronger connections with some local business entities and get some better experiences for our kids. Also talked last night about our guide for reopening schools. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to give the board information on was a heads up, basically, on what the beginning of the school year looks like or what the school year is going to kind of look like. And so I was able to do that. And so the board needs to really be informed. And by this Friday, I hope to have out this Friday a document on the website that kind of goes through what school might look like due to the pandemic. And so it's about a 35-page document right now. Three of those pages, the last three pages, are a quick reference. So if you just want to get the highlights, I'll give you, everyone who's listening gets a tip on that. Go to the last three pages, you can get a highlight. But I do encourage people to read the whole document. So sit down, you know, grab a cup of coffee and your reading glasses and enjoy that document. But I'll hit a few of the highlights this morning that I feel comfortable sharing. So like I said, this is still a document and work that we're working on. It probably will be a document that we'll be working on throughout the remainder of the summer. But I would like to get some guidance we feel comfortable providing as soon as possible, and hopefully that's done by this Friday, like I said. But you know, some things that people are wondering, are we going to start on time? Yeah, we're planning on starting on time. We're planning on, if your child was scheduled to start on August 18th, that's our current plan. If your child was scheduled to start on August 19th, that's our plan right now. So we plan on starting on time and following the school calendar as long as we can. A lot of people are wondering about masks. Masks will be required in certain instances, such as onboard buses or other school vehicles where, you know, those tight contained spaces, we're going to need to have students and staff wearing masks in those locations. You know, we just want to reduce the risk. We also will require masks if the Southwest Nebraska Department of Health risk dial ever gets to an elevated level. Currently, we're at a moderate, like I had mentioned a little bit ago. But if it ever gets to elevated, that means the risk of spread is higher. That means there's more COVID in our local area, and then we would require that. But right now, we're at moderate, and I hope to either stay at moderate. Actually, I hope it goes down to low so we don't have to do these mitigation endeavors, you know. And so people understand that in certain environments, we're also going to possibly ask students to wear masks, and that's if we're in a confined space. Anytime we're in a confined space with other students for a period of time, we're going to probably either, and we can't provide some sort of other barrier. We're looking at bringing in other barriers, plexiglass barriers, those types of things, to try to stop from having to wear masks. But we're going to ask students to wear masks in some confined areas where it's just safe, safer for the kids, it's safer for our staff to do so. We're also looking at maximizing our space across the district. We're not able to, it's just our schools weren't designed for 6 foot of space around every person, every student. I don't know what school is. It'd take a very, very large classroom or a very small number of students in a classroom to achieve that. So we are, like I said, we're trying to bring in barriers and maximize the space that we do have. We're going to group students is one of the things that we're going to do. So students, as much as we can, the high school, this is obviously very difficult to group students, but at the elementaries, we're going to try to keep groups of students together so that there won't be intermingling. So teacher A's first grade classroom will spend all day together, basically. They'll eat lunch together, they'll go to recess together, and we'll try to minimize the mingling or mixing of groups as much as possible. And the reason for that, again, is to try to lessen the chance of an infection spreading through the school. And if someone is infected, then rather than shutting down maybe a whole building, all we'll have to do is quarantine a classroom or dismiss a classroom for a period of time. And of course, with those decisions, it's our decision, but we work with the Southwest Department of Health, and we have to listen to their recommendations when those decisions are made. Sorry, I have a list here of things. I
want to That's make. Okay. No problem.
You know, I talked about the groups, talked about barriers that we're trying to do. We are providing 2 masks for every student, and we will always encourage masks. We will not be a mask-shaming school system. If someone feels more comfortable wearing a mask to protect themselves from catching the virus, we'll absolutely encourage that, and masks are always appropriate. We'll be doing daily cleaning routines. I think this is probably something the families already know, but we'll have scheduled routining. We're going to hit those frequently, touch surfaces often. Again, hand washing and sanitizer. We have hundreds and hundreds of gallons of sanitizer on hand right now. Thank you to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Really appreciate that. Certainly we have a good start to the year when it comes to sanitizers. We'll see how it goes. We might have to replenish at some point, but we have a good start on things. Quarantine measures, we're hoping that through this process, whether, you know, our goal with minimizing mixing and all these other things is to quarantine small groups rather than whole buildings or the district. When the district is, one thing I think parents need to be aware of because of the situation that we're in, when a school district is unable to, or when the district's unable to hire a substitute for a teacher that is ill, and let's say ill for any reason, or gone for any reason, that class will likely be dismissed if we can't find a substitute to replace that teacher. So we will still look for substitute teachers, but when we're not always able to find them. And in the past, what we would do is combine a couple classrooms together. Well, in this environment, we're not going to be able to do that. So I do want parents to be aware that there might be a time when they're notified that their class has been dismissed because their teacher is either gone or ill. And so we'll do our best to find people to fill those classrooms, but to substitute. So if you want a substitute, this is a good time to contact us. We'll do our best to get you a substitute certificate. There are some state statutes on that, but if you're interested, give the school a call. I think we're going to need substitutes this year, and that could be a problem for us, to be honest with you. Lunch times, we're going to add, we're doing more lunch times. We're trying to spread kids out. Again, when students are grouped, we're going to assign lunch partners, basically, and keep kids together. And so again, to limit the amount of mixing that takes place. Also, we are planning on doing extracurricular activities. Now, even though I say that, there are going to be a lot of things that impact sports and activities that are going to be outside the control of McCook Public Schools. How we seat parents in the stands is going to be very different. We have to have plans put in place for that, and we're working on those. So people will be socially distanced in the stands. And there's a chance that a school, we won't be able to compete. We'll be told we can't, or another school might not be able to compete because they have active cases. And so just be prepared for schedules to be altered and changed. And it's just going to be a year that's going to be frustrating. But I'm glad that kids are going to be able to participate, because I really believe that activities is very, very important to a lot of our kids. And it is a part of growth and development, and I think it's one of the great things about schools in the United States. And so we're gonna participate, and I want it to be as normal as possible. But there's gonna be some things that are out of our schools' hands when it comes to that. We have talked about alternative school schedules. We might get into a scenario where we're breaking students up into, it's called cohorting. Let's say the area becomes, has a higher rate of infection. Maybe we get to that orange or elevated level. We might move to a cohorting situation where we have 50% of the kids on certain days. For example, Group A and Group B. Group A goes to school Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday we clean, and then Group B comes to school on Thursday, Friday. That's a possibility if the conditions locally get bad enough and we see COVID spreading throughout our area. So just want to give parents a heads up on that could happen. Again, this is to try to prevent the spread of the virus. And hopefully we don't have to do that, but I want people to be aware of that there are thoughts on that part. And then also virtual instruction, alternative assessment. If we do have to dismiss schools like we did at the end of last school year, there's going to be a higher level of expectation on students. There's a higher expectation for teachers as well, how we teach, what we're teaching, the depth, and our expectations of student performance, grading. We're working through these right now, but grading, we're going to expect kids to earn their grades. They're going to have to earn their credits. And so just a heads up on that, if we do go to alternative ed, every student is going to have to continue to participate 100%. And the last thing on this that I want to cover is risk. We do have a lot of risks. We're always trying to mitigate or reduce risk in the school system for all different kinds of reasons, and COVID-19 is no different. Obviously, we're working very hard to reduce those risks across the district, and this plan is 35 pages or 34, 35 pages for a reason. It's us trying to protect staff who we can't teach without. Without teachers, there is no school, and protect students and protect families and the community. But we can't eliminate risk, and that's what people need to understand. As hard as we're working, there is a risk, and there will always be risk. And while we believe the school is absolutely, and so why do we go through the mitigation process? We believe school is the best place for kids. We believe that school is important for maturity, for growth, for learning, for social development, for all the traits that really make Southwest Nebraska patrons. Is public school is a big part of our life, and to not try to have that, just it wouldn't be right. And the best place for kids and the best learning environment, certainly I learned this last quarter, the best learning environment is in our buildings. And I know some people might disagree with that. I've had more of a macro observation of that, and I'm going to say that I very much believe in our school systems and what they do and how they benefit kids. I can see that firsthand on a big scale. And so we need to have kids in our buildings as much as we can.
Have people disagreed with you on that one?
Not very many.
Golly, but what is wrong with them?
Honestly, almost universal agreement with that. And that's okay. There's always disagreements. And so when our plan comes out Friday, there will be disagreement with the plan. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. And we're going to do our best to make as many people as we can happy. But we understand that not everyone's going to agree with it. And I wish we could get to that universal acceptance. We do strive for that, but we're not going to get there. And so even though I believe better to be in school than doing an alternative ed, there are some mindsets that think that's not the case. So,
wow.
And that's, I don't want to judge that. That's okay. It's just I just very, very, yeah, very much disagree with that.
Didn't mention temperature checks.
Oh yes, absolutely. We're gonna when students come to school, you're gonna have students be assigned. Now I'm leaving some of the planning to the buildings, obviously, and I do have a committee that I'm working through with this plan, and I do have an administrative team, and we're meeting on Wednesday. I'm having some big meetings on Wednesday to try to finalize this document. But the buildings will assign entry points for students. They'll assign exit points for students. They're also going to when students come into the building. We first thought we'd check them as they entered. We're probably going to wait till they get to the classroom, but I don't want to say that's been finalized. So I'm a little nervous sharing some of the stuff, but either they're going to be checked as they enter, or they're going to be checked once they enter their classroom. So if you can imagine a student walking into a classroom, they're getting a temperature check, they're washing their hands, they're being asked maybe how are you feeling today questions just to see if they're feeling okay. And so we have this sort of this protocol that we're going to have in place that's going to assess students as they enter. And we're also going to be temperature checking our staff as well. So staff will be temperature checked. We're telling staff, if you feel ill, don't come in. And if we can't find a sub, we'll make that tough call that we have to tell a class not to come. But we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to mitigate the spread of the virus. The health department officials we've visited with said we never miss the flu. The flu comes to McCook every year. And so I'm hoping we can go healthy to flu season. I'd love it if we get through flu season as well, but it doesn't miss McCook. And so I guess we need to be prepared for having to do things differently come late October, November, December, that time of year.
Has the Nebraska School Activities Association, have they said when they're going to be commenting and making their rules, obviously, because it's sooner than later, probably.
Yeah, they actually have sent out some guidelines, and my athletic director has been involved with that. They've given they want schools to participate. If they want local control. If you guys are ready to play, go ahead and play. And I wish I could talk more in depth about the guidelines on that. I think that there have been some changes made, but I don't know that I'm the right that I can share those. I don't know how confident I am in my own knowledge. knowledge. But I do know they want us to participate. I know executive director, Jay Beller, he wants kids to participate. I know him personally. I worked for him. He was my superintendent. I was a teacher. And he really recognizes how important activities, that extracurricular involvement for kids is so critical. And I think he understands that and wants kids, even if it's different, even if things change halfway through the season and you have to shut down, we want to get kids to participate as much as possible. I walked out of the building last night after, it was 9 o'clock maybe, out of the board meeting last night, and we had four kids practicing football on their own, doing receiver drills. And okay, so this is important to our kids. And so the last thing I think Jay wants to do, Mr. Beller or myself, is deprive those kids of that opportunity. Now, when we send a football team to Scott's Bluff, we're going to try to social distance as best we can, but the kids are going to be wearing masks on the bus. And, you know, it's just, we have to take some of those steps. Now if we can social distance on the bus, we're going to do that. And then they won't have to worry about it. But we just have a lot of kids out for activities. Mm-hmm. And sure. So it'll be a case by case situation, and maybe we will be able to social distance, but, I can't guarantee that at this point.
The 35 page document Friday, right?
Yeah, that's my goal. My goal is a long document on Friday. Again, the last three pages will be called the last three or four, depending on how long it is by then. The quick reference guide will be at the end of it on purpose, so that you go through the rest of it first and then take a look at the quick references. And so I appreciate all the help that I've been getting from other people on putting this together.
Moving on, business manager comments.
Oh, yes. The business manager had talked a lot about, we had a new walk-in cooler put in at the junior high school. You know, our junior high school really does manage lunches for the junior high and the high school. Serves a lot of kids. We had to put in a new cooler, and that has been completed. We talked about averaging 575 grab-and-go lunches during the month of June, which is much, much higher than we normally have or serve. And so that was a big improvement. We also talked about the fact that we have to do a budget hearing in August because we have to amend the budget because of the number of lunches that were sold. So we have to go through that process and change our budget. And then again, we do the official budget for the upcoming school year in September. So we're going to have two budget meetings in a row. We have a skill, we talked about, our life skills classroom is almost complete. That's the classroom we're upgrading right now at the high school, and we're putting in cabinets. It's a large classroom. It has a kitchen in it, so there's a lot more involved in that, but that's coming towards completion. They're installing cabinets right now. And we have hot water repair, our hot water storage tank at the junior high being fixed. Did that about 9 years ago. And we're anxiously awaiting the unicameral getting into session and telling us whether or not we're going to be able to keep our state aid.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting when those guys get together again.
It's a big issue for us. Yeah. So.
Any other board comments?
That's all for comments, yeah.
New business, resignations?
Did not have any. Oh. I just have those on this time of year, and we did not have any resignations. So
approving administrator and superintendent salary packages.
Yeah, well, the first one was the administrator salary package, and what I do is I give the board a dollar amount for to not exceed, and then based off the principal's evaluations, will award those earned dollars based on how their evaluation process went. And so last night I requested $17,523.45, not to exceed that amount for principal increases in pay, assistant principal increases in pay, and directors increases in pay. So it's just, and our directors would be like our business director and our special education director. And so that was approved last night. And that's an amount that's kind of in the middle of, we've been quite a bit higher, we've been lower, but usually when we're lower, that means we've replaced somebody, and so someone's coming in at a lower rate of pay. So I think it's a good amount. It's not maybe as much as other schools are offering this year, but we just wanted to be a little bit conservative considering the economic climate we're going into.
Approval of a lot of things with the student handbooks.
Oh, and I didn't talk about, we can skip over mine if you...
Did I skip something?
Mine's actually the superintendent's separate from the administrator pay. That's okay. I don't mind. We can skip right over
It's up to you. Go ahead.
No, okay. They approved a $1,000 increase to my pay. So that was, and then also the continuation. I do get benefits, a health health package. And so that was approved as well to be continued. So that was mine. And then what was next?
Student handbooks.
Student handbooks. Okay, so we had two student handbooks, and we also had the MPS health document that was approved separately. It's possible that because of the COVID-19 situation that that health document would be revisited. I hope not. I think it's probably set, but it could be revisited later on, and then that change made to the student handbooks. But again, that health document had to do with the 72 hours and the 24 hours and when we were to apply those rules. So both, all three of those documents were approved last night, both the student handbooks. And now there are some changes to the student handbooks. We had to fix some addresses. And then we also we're going to add a portion of our policy on appropriate interaction between students and teachers to that policy manual or to that student handbook. That way parents can go into the student handbook and see what's the appropriate way for their child to communicate with their teacher. We're moving towards a model where we're going to have a system in place where teachers and students can communicate, and that communication is recorded. Where texting, if you text a teacher right now, or a teacher texts a student, say, and you know, hey, English class is going to be on the lawn today. We can't track that, but with the new system, we will be able to. So, so that it's just some guidance on how students and teachers should properly communicate with each other.
And finally, positive comments.
Yeah, we had positive comments last night, and I will, here we go. We got Mr. Barry recognized the administration and the superintendent and the assistant principals for all the work that we're trying to do to help reduce risk in our schools. And we've really spent a lot of time on that in the last several months trying to figure out how to reduce risks. And we're still doing things. We're still working on it. We got some good plans in place. And so we're looking forward to putting those plans in place. I wish we didn't have to, but looking forward to putting those plans into action. Mike Langan talked about, dittoed Mr. Barry and said that, you know, this is a difficult situation. We have a moving target, which is very true. The conditions and the situation, our knowledge of the virus is constantly changing, which actually changes the way we approach it and how to mitigate it. And it's very hard to prepare in this environment, he says, and he knows that we are working hard to keep their kids safe and that schools are a safe place for kids. Loretta thanked the administration team for the way they're listening. We are trying to listen to people's concerns. Now, we hear a lot of different concerns from different people. It's important for everyone to understand that sometimes when you're sharing your concern over COVID and how we should react, we might have just 10 minutes ago talked to someone else who has a completely different view of that. But we are trying to listen, and we're trying to think through all of those things when we put these plans together. And there are a lot of opinions on that out there. And so we really have to work very closely with the health department on this and take some cues from them and take some cues from our community, because their opinion is very important to us as well. Teresa talked about McCook Elementary, Mr. Borland's Facebook jokes, and really appreciated. You know, this is a very tense time in Mr. Borland. He likes to tell jokes to his kids, and he must apparently have a plethora of dad jokes available at hand. And so he's been putting those out there, and it's been very enjoyable. Mr. Hayes wanted to thank TJ Renner and the work he has done to help the board over the last year. He's done a great job, and he's also been a great person in our community, and as an employee, as a student, just an all-around very, very good person and just a great member of our community. And we want all our kids to stay. We definitely want TJ to come, you know, if he goes off to college, come back and become part of McCook forever. Mr. Brazell wanted to thank me for trying to be as clear with expectations as I possibly can, which is, I appreciate very much, because it's very difficult in this muddy world waters right now to provide clarity, but trying to do that as best we can. And then Tom thanked the seniors and the public education system that have provided an opportunity for his own children to grow and learn. Three boys graduating from McCook High School all very successful and destined to be very successful in the future. So wanted to thank them and also thank all the families or all the people in the community who are looking for ways to engage our kids this summer. And even though we're having all these regulations put on us, there's still, we have many people in our community still seeking ways to impact student lives in a positive way. And I wanted to thank those folks. I wanted to thank a couple of people in our school who have continued to work throughout the summer on trying to, and giving advice and guidance and trying to help solve problems. Kim Corrigan and Tyra Barger are two people that just, you know, they work year round and they just, you know, trying to help. And Kim's our register and Tyra's our head nurse. And so you can imagine our head nurse has just been overwhelmed with information.
Yeah.
But trying to share information and give good guidance and provide. It's good to have quality people, and those are two very quality folks.
A lot of info from last night. A lot of info. Next board meeting is going to be on
August 10th.
August the 10th, right before school gets going.
Yeah, yeah. It's right before school starts up. We'll have new staff will be in at that time, but teachers start our on-contract teachers, not new teachers, in other words, will start on the 14th, and then we have a weekend, and then I believe we have students on the 18th and 19th. So,
all right.
Yep.